From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the cash grain markets with Greg Johnson at the Andersons from Champaign County. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, Mr. Franken will be here from Western Illinois University to discuss last Friday's Hogs and Pigs report and what that means for producers going into the winter months and how it affects what's happening at the meat counter as well. And we'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn for the day finished a penny and a half higher at $3.66¾. The March at $3.75½, up 2¼ cents. In May, corn at $3.81, 2¼ higher. July, $3.85, up 2½. And next year's December up half a cent at $3.84½. November beans were down 6¼ on the day. They settled at $9.96¼. January, $10¼ of a cent, down 6. And March 5 lower at $9.96¼. The July at $9.99¾, down 2¼. November beans, $9.45¾, 2½ lower. The bean oil up 45 cents at $33.29. Bean meal at $3.32.60, down $4.30 for the day. Soft red winter wheat, July contract at $5.62, up 6 for the afternoon. The hard red at $5.07¼, 7¼ cents higher. Live cattle futures in the October up 37½ cents at $107.95 for 100 pounds for the day, and feeder cattle 60 cents higher at $140.92½. They settled again 60 higher. October live rather lean hogs 95 higher at $72.70. The December there at $64.02½. They were down 40 cents on the afternoon. Crude oil for the day about 29 cents higher at $40.54 a barrel. Ethanol futures at $1.33 up 2 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, a penny and 0.2 cents higher at $1.13¾. Natural gas at $2.09, down 4¼ cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 519 points higher. The dollar up, down 0.387 at 94.3 for the day. Kurt Kimmel is now here. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for taking the time with me today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
I bet you've been busy today and the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's been really sporadic. For the most part, producers have been fairly aggressive working in the field. The weather's just been textbook perfect here. And looking forward through here, we're going to see a lot more activity take place. For the most part, a lot of variability still around. The beans, 60, 65 bushel beans, that's decent, but kind of a disappointment. There are some 70 and 80s where the rain did materialize in August. So August weather kind of made or break the bean yield this year as far as achieving those higher expectations. Corn yields continue to come in, a little better than last year, above average, but I haven't run a very few cases where they were all-time best. Moisture-wise, some corn moistures moved down to this 16, 17, 18, 19% moisture reading, so that makes things doable. This afternoon's harvest progress reports basically expected to show corn and bean harvest in this 16 to 18% complete as a nation, and that's going to continue to move higher here as you drive around, man. These fields are disappearing left and right.
I take it that the quick ship probably has gone away, and with it, some of the drying sorts of things that were out there that people could have taken advantage of. What's on farmers' minds for the day, other than I need to get harvest started?
Good question. One is there's a mixed opinion. Some are going to the elevator and some are going to the bin. But the biggest thing is meeting cash forward sales and meeting some grain commitments already in their pricing program that's been established, and hoping these yields are higher and have some overflow to work with in through here. A lot of guys are selling these beans across the scale now. Whether that means we're set up to move on up to $15, $16, I don't know. But guys have been aggressive, still taking advantage of some higher prices here, doing some replacement strategies. So later on, if South America continues to remain dry, and when they enter out of their dry season into the wet season, if that moisture does not materialize, they'd be on board to capture a little bit more to the upside. But just kind of in the mindset here that this market's caught in a sideways trading range and that they use the extremes to their advantage. Technically, huge day today. Today, tonight, or tomorrow morning, take a look at the charts. The corn market made a new low in this move and traded higher. The December market did not close above Friday's high, but the July closed above Friday's high. I call that outside up, according to the technical analysts I studied under. Some will call that a key reversal up. My definition of a key reversal is when it makes a new contract high or contract low and performs like it did today. But today's low is going to be fairly good support. Corn closed off as high somewhat, and talking to our technical people and even our fundamental people, there really wasn't a whole lot of news. Wheat was kind of leading the charge in through here. And the examples given today for the higher corn trade was mainly that there's some urgency to get some corn on the books. These end users were looking at buying corn for $2.80. That did not happen and probably will not happen. And so there was a little urgency to cover some shorts or get some purchases on the books. Wheat market, world weather. There's a little light frost in Australia. There's some dry pockets in Australia. There's still concern about some wheat in Russia and around the world. There's a few pockets to be concerned about. But it was just enough to create some spread activity. As you watch the markets, these markets are not all moving in the same direction. Corn was 2.5 cents higher, wheat 6-7 cents higher, but the bean market struggled 6 to 6.5 cents lower, Todd.
On Friday last week, USDA released the hogs and pigs report. Showed a lot of hogs around, though. Those that were kept back, I think, for farrowing have, for the second quarter, not been that large, at least year over year, down just a bit. What do you make? What'd you make of that, and what does it mean on the fundamental side, if anything, for the grain market?
A butterfly. Butterfly. And explain that is, if you look at how we closed today, the Octobers were higher. The December through Junes were lower, and July on higher. And basically, what I'm trying to say is upfront demand is good. The numbers up front here show that we're needing to see them purchase or move pork. Movement's good, export's good, numbers are a little tight. Even though the trade's saying we're not current, it feels like we are current. But when you look at that hog and pig report, the weight breakdown on it, we've got it indicated we're going to have some more hogs coming as 10% more. The trade doesn't believe it's that high, but as you look at those December, Februarys, and Aprils, it's a little concerned. But long term, when you look on out to next summer, farrowing intentions definitely took a down tick in through here from, I'm pretty sure, it's the aspect of the hard financial times we went through here over the last year in the hog complex.
When you think about that in the livestock sector in general, does it give you any indication of any swings in the marketplace as it relates to consumption of corn for feed across the sectors?
Well, I think this corn consumption is much, much larger than what the trade's letting on. And I'm talking true feed consumption. You look at feed usage on the supply-demand balance sheet, that's in a sense a miscellaneous category. But the hog numbers are high, cattle and feed report, huge placements. We had poor pasture conditions, so they moved more into the feedlot. Poultry numbers strong. So overall, feed consumption remains robust. That downtick in farrowing intentions, I don't think is going to slow down the feed demand enough to be concerned. But two, worldwide feed demand, we continue to see China expand. There's more articles about these hog hotels they've been building as they start to recover from this African swine fever that swept around the globe. They've been fairly aggressive buyers, too, on the weekly export sales reports, as we've seen them step up their purchases due to fears that this Germany situation might deter or scare some purchases out of that country. 50,000 tons of pork sales, and that's going to be a huge event if we can continue to see that happen.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us here in the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. You can always hear Kurt again. All of our agricultural programming, or most of it, if you'd like, anytime you want, on our website. Why not try it in the combine cab this fall? Just hook up the Bluetooth and play it later on whenever you want at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, or search for us in your favorite podcast application. USDA has released the September Hogs and Pigs Report. It shows a record number of animals on hand in the United States. And while the USDA reported a record 79.1 million head of hogs and pigs on hand, Jason Franken says that number does not necessarily mean the industry is continuing to expand. The Western Illinois University agricultural economist points out the breeding herd is down year over year by 1.5%.
That is, for two quarters in a row, the cutting of the breeding herd in response to low prices may be signaling oncoming industry contraction, even if it is not as strong of a response as anticipated.
And while the breeding herd is down, the number of market hogs is up, and it's heavy. It appears, believes Franken, that although packers made great strides to return slaughter rates above 95% of capacity, COVID-19-related labor constraints and producers' efforts to slow hog growth rates in response to concerns for slaughter capacity are the cause. And he says that could be a problem.
With these market hog inventories and last spring's pig crop unrevised, hog supply could easily exceed slaughter capacity this fall, putting downward pressure on near-term prices, despite strong potential for exports.
On that note, China, Korea, and Japan have temporarily banned pork imports from Germany due to the detection of African swine fever in wild boars, which could help U.S. pork exports. Pork shipments out of the country are still expected to exceed year-ago levels.
USDA estimates U.S. pork exports to be 1.75 and 2 billion pounds in the third and fourth quarters of 2020, or about 16% and 10% greater, respectively, than last year. The first quarter of 2021 is forecast to just exceed the record of 2.02 billion pounds that was realized in the first quarter of 2020, and the second quarter of 2021 is similarly forecast to stay about on pace with the second quarter of 2020. Hence, export demand is expected to remain strong.
Even with strong domestic and export demand, Franken says the price pork producers will receive should remain constrained for the remainder of 2020. Now, one final note. USDA has revised its forecast of U.S. per capita pork consumption for this calendar year back up to 51 pounds per person from its earlier estimate of 50.4. Prior to COVID-19, U.S. per capita pork consumption reached 52.4 pounds. That was in 2019. That was the most pounds of pork annually consumed by individuals since the 54.2-pound record was set back in 1981. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse in Chicago. A little rainfall made its way across the Corn Belt over the past couple of days. Let's start out with that. Where did it go?
Well, Todd, looking at the rain activity in recent days, the most significant rain activity occurred in places such as southeastern Iowa into northwest Illinois, where amounts were in excess of an inch. But outside of that, in general, most of the totals were in that quarter to three quarters of an inch range. And that's what the Eastern Belt is seeing here today, especially Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan.
Just enough to hit the pause button for maybe a few hours or maybe half a day to a day in most places in that case. As they get started into the harvest season, what happens next for the weather?
Well, Todd, following this current rain system, the Belt will have an extended period of dry weather that will be in place throughout the upcoming weekend. And so with this rain event, it's not the start of any, you know, very unseasonably wet pattern, but is rather just kind of a one-shot deal. And with no other significant rain events coming up, that should allow for a very favorable harvest progress coming up, which we've already started to see at this early stage of the season, but that's going to continue as we move into the early part of October.
Temperatures will be cooler daytime and evening both, but will there be sunshine?
There will be sunshine, and that really begins to kick back in tomorrow across the belt. And for much of this week, albeit with unseasonably cool temperatures, there should be an abundant sunshine here as higher pressure settles into the Midwest. And even expect that into next week as well, with then some increase in cloud cover during the second half of next week as we begin to see some easing of these cooler anomalies in place.
As we make our way into the second full week of October and into mid-October, are there any changes that you're watching or concerns that you have for storms that might make their way across the Midwest, or does it look clear at the moment?
Well, Todd, right now it does look clear for the moment. And, you know, typically La Nina falls here in the Midwest and the plains tend to feature generally drier than normal conditions. And so we do think that's playing out here this season. As is always the case, the item to watch is any tropical rains or tropical systems moving in. And at least for this week, we don't see anything, but the tropical season is not done. And even there's some hints that we could see the development of a system in the Western Caribbean during the early part of next week. So that's going to be the thing to watch that could cause some temporary wetness during the overall macro dry pattern expected here in the Midwest.
As fall and harvest has arrived here in the United States, if you turn your attention to South America, it's springtime and planting has and will continue. However, they sometimes need to wait for rainfall, especially in parts of Brazil, before that gets started in earnest. What do we know about the weather and the patterns there?
Yeah, well, in Brazil, about a week ago, there was some rain development across Mato Grosso, but more on the scattered side. Maybe enough to initiate some planting, but certainly not any kind of widespread, significant rain event. And now for the next couple of weeks, the pattern features drier than normal conditions and very hot conditions as well across Mato Grosso. So any planting will be pretty limited here the next couple of weeks. We don't anticipate that to last much longer. In fact, we are seeing indications that around October 10th or shortly thereafter, that would be the window for more significant rain development beginning again across Mato Grosso. And that would be the time frame for more consistent rains and ultimately more consistent early planting.
As you go southward from there, do conditions change very much?
Well, southern Brazil is in very good shape. They've been on the active side here lately and will continue to be that way. So their soil moisture base is in very good shape going into October. Argentina, though, it's been more variable. They did see a significant rain event this past weekend, which provided a good shot in the arm here for them. However, the pattern for the next couple of weeks is reverting back to a drier than normal mode. So they've struggled with dryness here over the winter, and that's certainly something to watch now as we go into the spring planting season there in Argentina.
Thank you so much, Mark. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He is in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, you know, during this harvest season, I want to make sure that you stay safe. Part of that is taking a nap in the afternoon. And I always encourage producers when they get a chance, even if it's during the middle of the show, if they happen to listen live or maybe after the fact and it's the middle of the afternoon, shut the machine off and take a listen. If you snooze, that's better than anything else I could ask for, because it'll keep you in the mode to continue harvesting. and really be safe. Agriculture is tough out there, and it's really hard on those who are involved in it, and you need to be as safe as possible because you're working really, really long hours. The other item that I think is important is to make sure that you mask up. I personally know three people that have had COVID-19. All three were down for about 3 weeks. You don't want that to happen during the growing season. So take time and be careful with coronavirus as well. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we checked in with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. A couple of really busy weeks on the radio, but they're here today. Thanks so much, Greg Johnson, for being with us. I don't know whether you're busy yet, but I bet you're getting ready to get a good start on things there, right?
We had a couple of good days last week. We offered some half-price drying. I think that's the only way to get corn harvested. It's still a little wet, but the good news is it is drying down. We saw corn 2 weeks ago. The samples were coming in 30%, and our average moisture on those days when we did the half-price drying was 24%. So it did dry down about 5 or 6 points in just over a week's time. So that's encouraging. The beans were okay, and you know, some of the early April planted beans were ready to go. The other ones not quite ready yet, but once this weather straightens up, then I think we'll get into bean harvest later this week, and then by the time they get the early beans done, corn will be ready the following week. So we're very close to getting very busy.
What have early yields been like?
About as expected, really. A lot of beans in the 65 to 75 bushel range, which is good. It's not a record, but it's probably our third best crop ever if the yields continue in that vein. And corn, same thing there too. Good, but not a record. Above average, we're a lot of 205 to 225 to 235. So it's good, not great. Probably the third best crop we've had in for both corn and beans if the yields continue to hold like the early results are showing.
The corn, I take it, was on a quick ship, so I won't ask whether that was marketed. But how about the soybeans? Are they selling across the scale?
Yes. I was on a conference call this morning with some merchandisers across the Midwest, and that seems to be the general consensus. Farmers are selling beans and holding on to the corn. They like the $10 price, but even with the 50-cent rally in corn, they just don't feel like that's enough to let loose of a lot of corn. So beans are selling, and corn they're holding.
What's your preference on this one?
Well, I'm surprised. I would have maybe sold a few more bushels of corn on this rally. The fact that we need miles driven to use gasoline to blend ethanol, and that just doesn't seem to be happening. Whereas China buying beans, the demand side of the equation is there for soybeans. The demand just doesn't seem to be quite as strong for the corn. So, I guess I would have been a little bit more aggressive selling corn on these rallies, but that has not happened. And who knows? Maybe come January, that'll be the right thing to have done, is to hold on to the corn.
Hey, thanks so much, and we appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Greg. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, and he joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, helped us to wrap it up. Thanks for being with us for the afternoon.